Good morning. So you say you should nichnas kislev marvin the Hanukkah or something. So anyway, we're in kislev already, and it's therefore timely enough to begin to talk about Hanukkah. A great deal of the discussion in the literature of Hanukkah, the Lumbish literature, revolves around a few lines of Gemara in Shabbos Kafala from the base. So let's read those few lines together, and then we'll see where it takes us. Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan. Mitzvah Hanukkah Ner Yishuv Beis Hayit. So the bedrock, basic Mitzvah Hanukkah is one Ner, one candle, let's say, for each household. V'amahad Ner L'Kolecha Be'echad. Those are Mahadra, the Mitzvah more. Machlokes Rishonim, showing them what the word Mahadra means. The Rambam seems to say that it means Hidur Mitzvah, those who beautify the Mitzvah more. They want to be Mekayim Hidur Mitzvah, so they have Ner L'Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Rashi says, it's not really so relevant to what I want to talk about, but since we're here, Mahadra says Rashi, Achara Mitzvahs. A Mahadra, Achara Mitzvahs. So, what does that mean to you? That's if Hidur would mean to beautify, so we say Hidur is Achar on this place.
People will run after.
Run after. Mahadr Achar means people will not. To be Mahadr after something is an Aramaic word. It means Mahadur Basrayim. So Rashi takes Mahadr not to be the Hebrew word Hidur Mitzvah, which is I think the way we're usually used to thinking. Rashi takes Mahadr to be the Aramaic word Lahadure. People who are Lahadure Basar, people who run after more mitzvahs. So for those kind of people who are looking for more mitzvahs, Chazal were misakin more mitzvahs, more ways, greater ways to be mekayim this mitzvah. That's actually a fundamental machlokes there for what is the mahadin of Ner Hanukkah? Is it hidur mitzvah? That's how the Rambam takes it, or is it some new mitzvah that Chazal were misakin for people who are looking for more mitzvahs? People who vazuchin mitzvahs, they want more mitzvahs. Chazal gave them more ways, more mitzvahs in Hanukkah as well. So for them, we have Ner L'Kol Echad Ve'Echad. We'll see in a minute exactly how that plays out. But a Ner per person in the house. V'ham Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin, those who are even more Mahadr Mitzvahs, Mahadr Achar Mitzvahs, however we understand. But then, they have a further distinction. V'Sham Yen Regen Yishim Ma'ad B'Shmoy L'Mikhan Ve'Elech Fosh Esayilach. V'Sil Omin Lem Yishim Ma'ad B'Kechod, Mikhan Ve'Elech Moistim Kohilach. V'Sham Yisei, the first night, they like 8, 7, 6, 5, they count down, and they still hold that we count up. Listen, one light, one candle, two candles, and so on. This is a machlokes rishonim, also not something that I really want to talk about today, but it's important to mention since we're here, whether mahadrin, mina mahadrin, is added to mahadrin, or it's a substitute for mahadrin, meaning Mahadrin is Ner L'Kol Echad Ve'Echad, a Ner per person. Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin is a Ner, you add a Ner per night. So does that mean you add a Ner per night, per person? So Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin builds on top of Mahadrin. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam in Moshe, the Rambam gives an example. If you have 10 people in the house, so the first night is like 10, the second night 20, the next night 30, and so on. Which is what we do, of course. We have 10 people in the house, so the first night you have 10 layers, the second night 20 layers, and so on. Whereas Tosfos holds that Mahadrin min HaMahadrin precludes Mahadrin. Mahadrin is Ner L'Kol Echad Ve'Echad, Ner per person. Mahadrin min HaMahadrin means you add a Ner per night, but then you only have one Menorah. But you don't multiply the number of nights by the number of people in the house. The argument being that if you're going to multiply the number of people by the number of nights, so somebody who sees, an onlooker, sees the Neiris in the window has no way of knowing, is this the second night and you have 10 people? He sees 20 Neiris. Does that mean it's the second night of Hanukkah with 10 people? Maybe it's the fourth night of Hanukkah with 5 people? So you undermine the whole idea of Mahadrin min HaMahadrin, which is to provide a hecker what night it is. So therefore, Tosfos holds, once you're doing Mahadrin min HaMahadrin, and you have one menorah only, one set of Neiris only, you have one candle, two candles, three candles, but not per person. And again, the Rambam mostly do it the other way around. The Shulchan Aruch passes like Tosfos, that you do. The Shulchan Aruch passes like Tosfos, one menorah. But doing Mahadrin min HaMahadrin already, then there's only one menorah. And the Rambo asks, like the Rambam, that you multiply the number of neiros by the number of people in the house. And that's how most of us do. The Gemara continues and says, Omer Ulo, Ulo said, "Figure b'shei amiroi b'marovo." There was a machlokes between two chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yosi bar Avin, Rav Yosi bar Zvigo. Chado metaima de Shammai. They were arguing, "What's the reason? What's the rationale behind the Shammai and the Zilu? Whether we're meisiv b'ilu or parches b'ilu?" Chado, my one of them said, "Taima de Shammai. Kineged yomim hayotzim. B'taima de Zilu. Kineged yomim hanichnosim. B'taima de Zilu. Kineged yomim hayotzim." One of them explained that the Shammai said, "You parches b'ilu." He holds that you light candles according to the number of days that there are to go. So the first night there are 8 nights to go. 7 nights to go. 6 nights to go. So the neiros decrease correspondingly. And Basilis is connected to Hayotzim. You light according to how many nights have gone by. So the first night you're clocking. 1 night is going by the second night. The second night is going by and so on. That's one way to explain it. The Chadomer, the other one says, time is to be Shami connected to Parayachad. Shami is based on the analogy of Parayachad. And Sukkot, the number of Purim went down, 14, 13, 12, and so on, by the Musaf of Sukkot. The time of the Vesilu, the Ma'ilim B'Kodesh Ve'Emaridim, whereas Vesilu's rationale is Ma'ilim B'Kodesh, we want to increase in Kedusha, we increase the number of Neiros. And that's the Gemara. So we have a Machlekes Beshamin, focusing on Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. We have a Machlekes Beshamin Vesilu, how do you do Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin? Beshamin say Yepoiches Vahiluch, Vesilu say Yermaisu Vahiluch. And we have another machlekes. How to explain the machlekes b'shami and b'silu? Machlekes between two amiroim. One version is that b'shami is based on parah achad, the parah masuk is decreased, so the neir is decreased, and b'silu is because of ma'alim b'kodesh. The other madama says that it's machlekes. The rationale behind the machlekes is k'neged yomim hanichnosim and k'neged yomim hayotzim. So in every facet of the sugya, every line over here, there's whole literature, and there's a great deal to say. I just want to go through one by one the various points here in the sugya and see how we could perhaps understand it a little bit better. Let's start as follows. The first rationale for Beishama. Actually, it's the second rationale, but we'll do it first. The second rationale is more for Beishama is Pari Achad. Not the lights decrease, the neir is decreased because Pari Achad on the sukkah is decreased. What in the world do Pari Achad have to do with Chanukah? Why should the model, the paradigm for Beishamai, how to light Neiros Chanukah, be of all things Pari Achad, the Korban Musaf of Sukkos?
How do we translate Pari?
Cows. When you say Musaf on Sukkos, you say, unlike Pesach, we say the same thing every day of Chol HaMoed. On Sukkos, you have different Korbanos because the number of Purim that the Torah prescribes for each day of Sukkot was different. The first day was 14 Purim, the second day was 13, and so on. B'shami say that's the paradigm for Neiros Chanukah as well. Neiros Chanukah also have to decrease. So that's an obvious question. What did Pari Achad have to do? How did Pari Achad make their way into a sugya about Neir Chanukah? So I think the answer is Pashut. You know, the Gemara says that. But we know the halacha as well. And Pesach, how many days of Pesach do we say full halal? Only the first day. Meretz Yisrael, we have 2 days. Basically, the first day of Pesach. The rest of Pesach, we only say chatzi halal. Chatzi halal is only a minug. The chiyuv midrabanon, the chiyuv to say halal, the basic chiyuv is only the first day of Pesach. The rest of Pesach is only a minug, like the shchodesh, and therefore we only say chatzi halal. Sukkos, we say full halal, halal shalom, every single day. What's the reason for that difference? Why is it that Sukkot we have Halal Sholem every day? In Pesach we only have Halal Sholem on the first day of Pesach. So the Gemara is a question. The Gemara is an Erechim and a Megillah. So what is the Gemara? Sure, somebody here knows the Medrash. That's the Medrash. Pesach has been such a Medrash.
That's not the New Kedusha each day.
New Kedusha, but how do we know it's New Kedusha?
Because Karbanos are from the Gemara.
The Gemara says the difference between Pesach and Sukkot is that on Pesach every day was the same carbon. It's the Gechazit. The same korban that you bought the first day of Pesach, they bought the second day and the third day. So therefore, you only have halal shalom once. First day of Pesach, say halal shalom, and you yotze for all of Pesach. If If you missed Hallel Shalom the first day of Pesach, you say Hallel Shalom the second day of Pesach. So it's not that only the first day warrants Hallel. Pesach warrants one Hallel, and that one Hallel counts for all of Pesach. So you say it the first day, and that's it. You fulfill the obligation of Hallel Shalom for the entire Pesach, because the entire Pesach is one Kedusha. Sukkot, every day is a different Kedusha, reflected in the fact that every day had a different carpet. So for every day is Mechayev Hallel, every day of Sukkot is Mechayev Hallel separately. The first day is Mechayev Hallel, because that's one Yom Tov. The second day, in a sense, is another Kedusha, it's another Yom Tov, so it's Mechayev Hallel again. So therefore, you have to say a different Hallel for every day of Sukkot. Whereas by Pesach, you say Hallel, one Hallel, and that one Hallel covers all of the 7 days of Pesach. So you see that when the fact that the Pariah Chag and Pesach, excuse me, the Pariah Chag and Sukkot are different than each other, the Karbonos are different than each other in Sukkot, indicates that the Kedushas Hayoim of Sukkot is different every day. That's how the Torah lets us know that whereas Pesach is one continuous Kedusha, it's one continuous Kedusha, therefore only one Shir is said, one Hallel is said for all of Pesach. By prescribing different Karbonos for every day of Sukkot, the Torah informs us that Sukkot is different, and every day of Sukkot is a different Kedusha, every day of Sukkot is a different Yom Tov, at least in this context, in the context of saying Shira, of Hallel, and therefore every day warrants Hallel in its own right. Now, come Chazal. In Chazal, when it comes to Hanukkah, they want to bring out the point that every day of Hanukkah was special. Every day of Hanukkah was a different Nes. That's really the whole idea over here of Mahadim and Mahadim, of differentiating the different Neres, the Neres for each night of Hanukkah, is to drive home the message and to be mefarsim the fact that Pursuim Nisa, that there was a different Nes each day, that the Nes was greater each day, the Nes increased each day. So we want to bring out the point that it's not the same Nes that we celebrated yesterday that we're celebrating today. Today we're commemorating a new Nes because the Nes increased each day. So Chazal want to demonstrate, they want to incorporate into the Neres Chanukah in some way the fact that we are considering every night of Chanukah to be something special. So we're looking for a model. How can we do that? What should be how can we bring out the point that every day of Chanukah is? So we know we have a rule called the Tikkun Rabbanim Ka'im De'Arayis Tikkun. Whatever Takkonos Chazal made, they always look for some model in things that are De'Arayis. So Chazal are looking for a model. How can we? This is Bishamah. We're looking for a model. How does the Torah go about demonstrating that different days are different from each other? Well, the model is Pariah Chag. How does the Torah demonstrate that each day of Sukkot is separate from the other, is unique and special, warrants its own Hallel? The Torah demonstrates that by Chiluk Karbonos, by prescribing a different carbon for each day of Sukkot. That's why we have different Hallel, separate Hallel for each day of Sukkot. So called the Tikkun Rabbanim, Ka'im De'Arayis. The Chazal took that as their model, and when they wanted to demonstrate, to show that each night of Hanukkah is different, by the point of Mishamai, they did it Ka'im De'Arayis, by being Memayit Baholuch, every night should be a different number of Neiros. And just like in the Torah, it's Poiches V'Holuch, and that's our model, so too in the Neiros Chanukah as well, our model is to be Poiches V'Holuch. That's Beishamai's approach. Basil disagreed. What did Basil say? Moisef V'Holuch. Why are we Moisef V'Holuch? So Basil said, because Mayim Makodesh Ve'ei Leridu. We always want to go up in Kedusha, we don't want to go down, so we have to add Neiros. Mayim Makodesh. My father always tells a story about his father was I guess he was a rabbi at the time. People wanted to change apartments. He was a rabbi in America way back when. And some people came to him with the shiloh. They want to move from the Ohio, they're in an apartment building, I guess the tenement. They want to change apartments, they want to move to a lower story. And they heard that Milan Bakaitish, that you're only allowed to go up, you're not allowed to go down. They're allowed to do it. So he was a wise Jew, so he asked them, when are they planning to move? So they said, on Saturday. So he looked in Svarim, looked in the Shach, he looked in the Taz, he made a big tyran out of it. He told them, you know what, if you, on Saturday it's not okay, but if you do it on another day of the week, then you could move there. So anyway, we have this rule. It says, we want to go up, we don't want to go down, neither on Saturday nor on any other day. And so so they still hold with Moisef V'Holuch. The Chayra, this principle conflicts with another principle that we have. The Mishnah says in Zvachim, what if you have two karbanos? You're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're playing in the Beis HaMikdash, and you're presented with two karbanos. And you have a choice. You want to know which one to be makir first. We know what by all mitzvahs. Jews always want to know what to do first. Even when we put on our shoes, we have halachas. Which shoes we put on first? Certainly, if you have karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to know there's a priority. Which karban takes priority? You present it with two karbanos. So the Mishnah says a rule. Kol ha-mekudosh mechaveroi kodum mechaveroi. The one that's more kodosh you do first. Chayra, that's the exact opposite of the rule that we're laying down over here. Here we're saying a rule, ma'ilum b'kodesh, that you do the one that's less kodesh first, and then you move up to the one that's more kodesh. And yet the Mishnah Zvachim says exactly the opposite. That kol ha-mekudosh mechaveroi kodum mechaveroi, when you have two karbanos, like one is a Talmud, one is a Musa. The Gemara is a different example. One carbon, that's a good example. That's a halal. You have a chatos and the shlomim. The chatos is more kodesh kashim. The shlomim is only kashim halal. So you market the chatos first because kol ha-mekudosh mechaveroi is chaydum mechaveroi. So why don't you say over there also ma'ilum mechaveroi? Do the shlomim first and then go up to the chatos. So when do we apply? We seem to have exact opposite rules. When do we apply ma'ilum mechaveroi? And when do we apply the other rule? Of kol ha-mekudosh mechaveroi chaydum mechaveroi. So what would you say? Sounds like mamish exact opposite directives.
Well, one's one chavis, one's two separate things. We're dealing with
I would put it maybe a little bit differently, but basically the same idea. Over there we're talking about, in that Mishnah's Vachim, we're talking about where you're presented with two chiyuvim, two karbonis, both of which have a certain claim on your attention. So the question is, which one has the stronger claim? The one that has the stronger claim, that's the stronger chiyuv, has to go first. The one that has a weaker chiyuv goes second. So kol ha-mekudosh mechaveroi kodum mechaveroi. It has a greater claim, it's a greater chiyuv. By Chanukah, you're not presented with eight menorahs that you have to light all at the same time, one with eight candles, one with seven candles, and you want to know which one is the greater claim. Every night you're only going to light one menorah anyway. The shaila is, how should we misader it? How should we organize it? It's not a question of which chiyuv takes precedence over which. The shaila is seder. What's the proper seder in which to light the Neres Chanukah? So here we have the opposite rule. Ma'ilum b'kodesh, the seder is to go up rather than to go down. And this sheds light. This distinction sheds light on an otherwise difficult halach in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that in the morning we put on talis and tefillin. So what do we put on first? Talis, right? You know, put on talis first and then we put on tefillin. Why do we do talis? Why not the other way around? Why not put on tefillin and then talis? So there's different reasons. Some Rishonim say, because Todr v'Shein and Todr, Talis we wear every day, Tefillin we only wear on a weekday. So Talis is Todr v'Shein and Todr Kainim. The Shulchan Aruch says a different reason. The Shulchan Aruch says, because Ma'ilum b'Kodesh v'Ein Meridim. Because we go up and we don't go down. Ma'ilum b'Kodesh, Agamar. Tefillin is more Kodesh, you can do Zohar, Tefillin is more Kodesh than Talis. Chepsev Tefillin is more Kodesh, Tefillin is a Chepsev Dusha, Talis is not, but he brings a Zohar. The person when he's wearing tefillin is a greater state of tushah than when he's wearing talis. So we go up from talis to tefillin. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and his rationale. So the Shagas Aryeh has two questions. First of all, ask the Shagas Aryeh, the rule is just the opposite. When you have two mitzvahs in front of you, like two karbanos, so then we have the opposite rule. Kol ha-mekudosh mechaveroi kodum mechaveroi. Ma'alim b'kodesh is over here, we're talking about a seder, like Hanukkah. But when you have two mitzvahs in front of you, talis and tefillin, that's analogous to having two karbanos in front of you. And there the rule is that you makir first the karban that's more kodosh, not the karban that's less kodosh. So you should put on tefillin first, the kol ha-mekudosh mechaveroi kodum mechaveroi. That's the Shagas Aryeh's first question. Then the Shagas Aryeh is the second question. He says he doesn't think, so by that rationale, says the Shagas Aryeh, you should put on the tefillin before the talis. Then the Shagas Aryeh goes on and he says he doesn't really think that there's a din, there should be a din saver here at all. He says, he doesn't really think it should matter at all, because he says like this, L'mashul, what do you have to put on first in the morning? Your tefillin or your pants? Shaila. After all, what's more kodesh? Tefillin or more kodesh? So maybe you should put on your tefillin first, then you put on it, or your jacket, and so on, your hat. Some people hold a hat, there's also a chetzah, but somebody told me a story recently, he was in the shul, and somebody laid a hat down on top of the Gemara. I told them it's not right. She said, no, a hat is also it's a beggar of the yeshiva line, and it's more. Anyway. Be that as it may. So what's the chat pocket? Why don't you have to put on tefillin before your pants? Says the Shagas Aryeh. this pants and not a mitzvah at all. The din of kol of kolam a kudush mechaveru. That's the thing when you have two mitzvahs and you want to know which mitzvah goes first. But when you have a mitzvah and something that's not a mitzvah at all. So then there are no dinek dima. The dinek dima are said between two mitzvahs. Putting on your pants is not a mitzvah. It's a good idea, but it's not a mitzvah. So therefore it doesn't have dinek dima. So it says the Shach HaSai, the same thing, talis. There's no mitzvah to wear a talis. There's a din. If you're wearing a talis, you're wearing a mega that has a talis kalifas, it has to have tzitzis on it. But there's no chiyuv, there's no mitzvah per se. There's a minhag that we wear a talis. But there's no mitzvah to put on a talis. There's a mitzvah that if you wear a talis, it has to have those strings, the tzitzis on it, or any beggar that has dalat kantus, you have to make sure that it has the tzitzis, al-kanti b'gdetim. But there's no mitzvah to put on a talis. Putting on your talis, said the Shach HaSai, from a pure halachic point of view, since it's not a chiyuv, it's the same as putting on your pants. So just like you could put on your pants before you put on your tefillin, after you put on your tefillin, it makes no difference. So the same thing with putting on your talis, put on before the tefillin, after the tefillin, from a halachic point of view, it's neutral. So it makes no difference. So I guess you might as well do like it says in Shulchan Aruch, because that's what everybody else in Shul is doing. But the Shach HaSai is that fundamentally, there's no reason that you should have to follow any Seder at all. Okay.
It says
that
the first
scar
you should put on is the small one.
Well, then you're not holding up putting on tefillin at all. But when you come to Shul and you have both mitzvahs in front of you, so the Shulchan Aruch says first you put on the talis and then the tefillin. So the Shach HaSai is asking two kashas on the Shulchan Aruch. Again, in Shulchan Aruch it says talis and then tefillin because ma'ala b'kodesh ve'em aridim. That's not what we have here in the Gemara Mechayim. So the Shach HaSai has two objections. Objection number one, since you have two mitzvahs in front of you, if there's a seder at all, it should be the opposite seder, tefillin and then talis. Because when you have two mitzvahs in front of you, the rule is kolam b'kodesh mechaveroi kodem lechavero. And objection number two, says the Shach HaSai, since talis is altogether not a chiyuv, so it shouldn't have any dinei seder altogether, and you should be able to, and therefore you can do whatever you want. If already it will be a seder, it will be tefillin first. But the fact is, the Shach HaSai holds that there should not be any seder at all. So what can we answer on behalf of the Shulchan Aruch? So I would suggest that really one question answers the other. The Shulchan Aruch also agrees that talis is not a chiyuv. If talis would be a chiyuv, then I would have two chiyuvim. I would have the chiyuv of talis and the chiyuv of tefillin, and I would have to ask myself, what chiyuv has the greater claim on me? Which is the greater chiyuv? So all be the answer, tefillin. The greater chiyuv is the greater claim, it has to come first. But since talis is not a chiyuv at all, so Shulchan Aruch also agrees that talis is not a chiyuv. So the question of which chiyuv is greater, which imperative is stronger, doesn't arise at all. Because talis is altogether not a chiyuv. Nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch holds tzitzis are a mitzvah. There's no chiyuv to put on a talis. But the mice, when you put on a talis, you're going to have tzitzis, you're going to be fulfilling a mitzvah. So the fact is, you're going to do two mitzvahs now. You're going to do a mitzvah, you're going to be fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is not a chiyuv, but you're going to be fulfilling that mitzvah. And then you're also going to be fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin. So the question now is not which chiyuv is greater. Talis is not a chiyuv altogether, so that question never arises. The question that does arise, though, is, given that you're going to be doing, you're planning to do two mitzvahs, one of them you're not obligated to do at all, but you are planning to do two mitzvahs right now. You're planning to do the mitzvah of tzitzis. You're planning to do the mitzvah of tefillin. So you could still ask yourself, what would be the appropriate seder? Not which is the greater chiyuv. When you're asking which is the greater chiyuv, the answer has to be the greater chiyuv is the one that's more kodesh that comes first. Here you're not asking which is the greater chiyuv, because one is not a chiyuv at all. Talis is altogether not a chiyuv. But what you can still ask yourself is, what is the appropriate seder with which to do these two mitzvahs? Well, when you're asking which is the appropriate seder, then you have Agamar. Ma'ilam HaKredish Ve'em Meridim. The appropriate seder is first to light one there, and then to light two neiros, and then to light three neiros. Likewise, first to put on talis, which is less kedusha, and then to move up to the mitzvah of tefillin. Okay, let's move on. This was all around the second version, the second explanation of the Shamei Gesil. Shamei is Pari Achad. We explained the idea of Pari Achad, called the Tikkun Rabbanon came to Raisa Tikkun. We want to model our Rabbanon on the paradigm of what we find in the Torah. How does the Torah differentiate between, show that each day is special? That's what we're going to show, that each day is special. That's the Shamei. Gesil is Ma'ilam HaKadosh Ve'en Meridim, as we explained. We have another version of the explanation between the Shamei and Gesil. Yom HaNechnosim and Yom HaYotzim. The Shammai say, we want to demonstrate, we want a light corresponding to the days that are yet to come. And they still say, we want a light corresponding to the days that have gone by. That explanation needs a self-explanation. Why do the Shammai think that it's more important to look forward to the days that are yet to come? Why do they still look backwards to the days that have already gone by?
Zev and Zal once wrote an article in Torah Lamadim where he said that the Shammai always looked at the potential.
Oh, that's exactly what I want. That's the next sentence. Rav Zevin has an article. Rav Zevin has an article. Lubavitch Rebbe also has such a thesis, but he was Lubavitch Chassid. I don't know who got it from whom. But anyway, Rav Zevin has an article in which he develops a general thesis all over Shas that Beis Hillel always look at the way things are b'poil in actuality, and Beis Shammai is always looking at the way things are b'poil in their potential. And he gives a whole bunch of examples, but I just want to show you how he applies it to the particular case. By lighting the Neiros of Hanukkah, of course, we're commemorating the Neis that happened then. And by lighting differently each night, we're showing that the Neis was different each night. Now, when was the Neis bigger? The second night or the first night? As the days of Hanukkah went by, did the Neis get bigger and bigger, or did the Neis get smaller and smaller?
It's bigger.
The Chayor got bigger and bigger. The first night lasted for one night. It wasn't even a nest at all. That's the famous Kasha of the Beis Yosef. Why do we light Hanukkah candles altogether the first night? There was no nest. There was enough oil for the first night. Second night, everybody sat up and took notice. It should only lasted one night. It lasted for two. Third night, it became even more astounding. It lasted for three nights, four nights. With each passing day, the nest got bigger and bigger. That's true if you look at the Neis in actuality. The Neis was in actuality greater each night. On the other hand, if you look at the potential, the first night of Hanukkah, if you knew the Emes, what's going to happen in the future? The first night of Hanukkah, how long that one flask of oil, that small quantity of oil that only should have lasted for one night, that first night, how long was it going to burn for? For 8 days? The Neis. The first night, that little bit of oil had the miraculous potential to burn for eight nights. The second night, it had the potential to burn for seven nights. The third night, the sixth night, five nights, and so on. The Neis potential is like a battery. The first night, it was fully charged. It was fully charged with Neis potential. And then, the curve declined. As each night went by, the Neis potential of the Shemen became less and less, until by the eighth night, the Neis had completely exhausted itself and there was no Neis left. And then the candle went out. Then the Neis went out. So, says Rav Zevin, that's the Machlokes over here. They still hold that we commemorate the Neis the way it actually was. The Neis the way it was, b'poyo, was bigger and bigger. So we light more and more. The Shammai hold that whereas the Shammai focused on the b'poyo, the Neis wound down. So the first time we light eight Neis to show that little bit of oil had the power to burn connected Yom HaNechnosim for eight more days. The second night we light seven candles to show that Shemen had the power to burn for seven more days, and then for six more days, and so until we come to the end of the process. It's very beautiful, and I think a very compelling explanation. I'd like to add something to that, perhaps a little bit different. There's a machlokes between Morin Beitzah. I'm not mistaken, it's in Beitzah. The Gemara brings the machlokes, differing practices of Hillel and Shammai in regard to Kavod Shabbos. The Gemara says the Shammai's practice was that if you would find, let's say, a beautiful cow on Sunday, he would purchase it for Shabbos. Then if Monday came and he found a better one, so he would buy that one for Shabbos, and the one that he bought yesterday he would already use for the weekday. And the whole Shabbos, the whole week through, he was planning and putting aside things for Shabbos. He found a good cut of meat in the refrigerator section, so he bought that cut of meat for Shabbos. He found a better one in the course of the week, so then he would use the one that he bought before and he would buy this one. But he spent the whole Shabbos, the whole week rather, preparing for Shabbos. That's how he fulfilled Kavod Shabbos. They still disagreed. The Gemara says, he had a different approach to life. And his approach was Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. That every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives what you need for that day. If you got something on Sunday, came across something valuable, beautiful on Sunday, he assumed that that was the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him for Sunday. So he used it on Sunday. Shabbos will take care of itself, because it's too early now to worry about Shabbos. Every day suffices for that day. On Friday, he would assume that what he needed for Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would provide an Erev Shabbos. So first on Erev Shabbos, he would start to worry about buying things for Kavod Shabbos. Two different approaches. So, what lies behind this? Apparently, Shammai took the view that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could provide the bracha for Shabbos even on Sunday. Okay? Hillel HaZaken's view was Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. That's more than possible. It's Baruch Hashem Yom 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 Yom. Every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the bracha that we need for that day. The bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us on Sunday, the things that He provides for us on Sunday, He's giving us for Sunday. He's not giving them for Monday, and He's not giving them for Tuesday, and He's certainly not providing them for Shabbos. What we'll need on Shabbos, He'll provide on Erev Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, Yoyim Yoyim Yamas Lanu. Each day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the bracha for that day. Shammai Zochin didn't have that approach. Shammai Zochin felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give the bracha for Shabbos already on Sunday. And therefore, if on Sunday he came across something beautiful and appropriate for Shabbos, he said, maybe that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was providing me now for Shabbos, so I'll put it away for Shabbos.
It's like man.
Right, so the hill is more like the man. Every day, we're allowed to put the man away, tomorrow's man away today. Every day was a bracha for that day. That's Hillel HaZaken's approach. And Shammai HaZaken apparently felt that that was the man, but the bracha in general doesn't necessarily have to work that way. It could very well be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me today what I'm going to need for Shabbos. And if I see I have this opportunity to buy now this wonderful cow that could be used for meat for Shabbos, so maybe this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me now for Shabbos, so I better put it away. Maybe later on the week HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me something better, so I'll put that away. But I have to. It's possible, according to Shammai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me the bracha on Sunday that I need for Shabbos. So if that's the case, I think it stands to reason that what's true of bracha in general would be true of Nes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down a Nes min HaShemayim, that this oil is going to have the power to burn beyond the ordinary laws of nature. So Hillel's approach would be that the Nes for each day was given that day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down each day, just like He sends down the bracha of each day, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom Yam Yisvanu. Each day HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides the bracha for that day. So the Nes is the same thing. Nes is bracha, just more. So Beis Hillel, following the view of Hillel HaZaken, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every night of Hanukkah, in the Beis HaMikdash, that first Hanukkah, every night HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down a Nes for that night. So the first night HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down a Nes that the oil should last for one night. That was really hardly a Nes. It wasn't
so
a Nes at all.
Just light one candle every night, like it was in the Beis
HaMikdash. No, a second. So hear me out. The second night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down a Nes that the oil should last for one night, but by then, it was less oil. So that's a bigger Nes. Because less oil is going to last for the whole night. The third night, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down a Nes that the oil should last for that night through. And by then it was even less oil. So it was a bigger Nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to send down. That the lesser amount of oil should last through the whole night. And so on each night. By the time we got to the eighth night, there was only a fraction of the oil left. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down a Nes that it should last through the night. That was the biggest Nes of all. So the Nes was bigger and bigger. Masha Enkin, Beishamai, they hold like Shammai HaZaken. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu could send down the Nes, the whole week's Nes, the first night. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down the first night all the Nes potential that this oil should burn for 8 days. And then throughout the course of the week, the Nes discharged. And as the week went by, the Nes becomes less and less because the Nes is discharging itself out until by the time you get to the end of the week, all the Nes is gone. Therefore, Beishamai hold, as the days go by, the Nes gets less and less. Consistent with the view of their Shammai HaZaken, that Mechel Shabbos B'Shavosi, that the whole bracha for the whole week, or in this case, the whole Nes for the whole 8 days, could already have been sent down the first day, and now it's just discharging over the rest of the week.
That leads to a very strange situation.
Yeah.
Because I think by Hilchos Shabbos, I think there are days that bring down, like Shammai, that a person should try to buy from the beginning of the week for Shabbos.
And we pass like Basil.
And we pass like Basil. Yeah, yeah. And we pass like Basil.
Yeah, yeah. Clear, if this declare is right, then we have to go
and,
like
the tzitzis says that there was no machlokes, there was the, nobody else had. Yeah, but it was a different midah, but nobody else had those midahs.
So this is in the halacha, I don't know, this will play out differently. Okay, but nonetheless, this is, I think it's worth saying. Yeah.
There's an opinion that
they
took
8.8
from the amount every night.
Yeah, so we're not talking about that yet.
So I guess a third view, but that would be...
Right, if they divided up the oil in the chachilas, then it would work out.
And then it would be sort of like Pesach, in that each day was the same nace.
Right, that every day was exactly the same nace. Yeah, that doesn't conform to any of this. Not the Rav Zeva, not to what I'm saying. That's altogether going to have to be different. That will have to say different to that.
Would we ever do Hashana for anything then?
What?
According
to Basil, so I think that's fine to say that the need of Basil is for people who don't buy life insurance and they live every day with the assumption that Baruch Hashem Yemei Maaseh Yamas Lanu, and not to worry about the future.
So why the first day when the oil according to milk to Basil, the oil should have been completed on down and just burn itself out
for
every day is for that day.
No, the nace for that day was that the oil should last for one night and only be depleted by an eighth.
So then part of it though was obviously saving for other nights.
Yes, right. But nonetheless, the nace itself was only for that night. Okay, let's go on. We're just going to work backwards. Ner l'kol echad ve'echad. V'hadin mana v'hadin is ner l'kol echad ve'echad. So what does that mean? Just to halacha l'maaseh, ner l'kol echad ve'echad. Let's assume that we have it, that ner l'kol echad ve'echad is multiplied by the number of people in the house. That's how the Rambam passes, and that's how the Rambam passes. Not like Tosfos. Remember, Tosfos holds that ner l'kol echad ve'echad precludes ner yishuv beisei. Meaning, if you're lighting for each night, then you don't have a separate menorah for each person. But the Rambam holds, and that's Minhag Ashkenaz, that's the way the Rambam paskens, that you multiply Mahadrin and Mahadrin by Mahadrin. So you multiply the number of people in the house by the number of nights that have gone by. So if you have 10 people in the house, and it's the second night of Hanukkah, how many nairs do you have? 12. 30. You said 30. How did you get 30? The second night. What?
Shams.
Oh, the Shabbos, yeah.
Okay,
without the Shabbos, right.
According to the Rambam, that would be one menorah.
Well, so that's where I want to come from. So what does that mean? What does that mean? There's two. I'll tell you how the Rambam says it. The Rambam says, Madlik Neirois, I don't know exactly the whole, maybe you have more of the Rambam than I have. Anybody have here? Did they make Maran Chomish? The person is mahadir more than he lights neiros according to the number of people in the house. Ben anoshim and noshim, men and women the same. The ha mahadir goes through. Somebody wants to be mahadir more. And every night he adds a ner per person. I think Rambam elaborates. He gives an example of 10 people, 10, 20, 30, 40. How many people are lighting these ners? You have 10 people in the house. How many people are actually engaged in the act of hadlokas haner? Again, let's look at the Rambam again. From the second line of the Rambam. The person is mahader. He's a mahader person. He lights as many neiros as is the minion of Amshi Habayis. And then the next night he lights, he adds another neir, and the Rambam elaborates later for each person. So how many people are actually lighting the neiros? One. It's very clear in the Rambam. One person is lighting all of these neiros. The Baal HaBayis, if he has 10 people in his household, the first night the Baal HaBayis lights 10 neiros. And the second night the Baal HaBayis lights 20 neiros. And the third night, so on and so forth. Is that what we do?
No.
We have each person lights their own. Where does that come from? That comes from the Rambam. The Rambam, when he brings down this halacha, so even though ostensibly the Rambam is passing like the Rambam, that it's multiplied, Mahadrin and Mahadrin is multiplied by Mahadrin, but the Rambam says that it means that kol echod ve'echod madlik neiros keneged yom ha'neiros. I'm not quoting it verbatim, but the Ramah says clearly, each person lights his own menorah. So what is this machlekes all about? Number one. And number two, why did the Ramah see fit to depart from the psak of the Ramah? The Ramah is following the Ramah. In the parentheses over there, in the inscription is to the Ramah, in the Shulchan Aruch. Right, the Ramah himself didn't write the inscriptions, the parentheses. The source is given, says Ramah, after the Ramah. But our Kapanim, the Ramah needed a reason. In the Ramah it says that the Baal HaBayis likes the Neiris. So the Baal HaBayis likes all of the Neiris. Why in the world did the Ramah see fit, given that he's basically following the Ramah's line, that it's 10, 20, 30, 40, why did the Ramah see fit to take issue with the Ramah on this particular point of who is doing all of this light? Is it the Baal HaBayis alone, lighting for everybody, or is it each person lighting for themselves? So this is a major question. This is a very famous Briskerov about it, which I'm not going to tell you over, but if you have the opportunity, it's worth looking it up yourself, and Kedusha agrees if you have access to it. He develops a very beautiful approach based on Machlokes the Rambam and the Ramah in Hilchas Milo. But it's not for, I don't want to, you look it up yourself, it's interesting to see.
Are women chayim to light candles?
Yeah.
Why should it be? Isn't this a Zman Groma?
So the Gemara says, Akei Hoyu Boisen Nes, since they were involved with the Nes, and maybe they played a pivotal role in the Nes, so it's a special, has a special status. It's one of those mitzvahs that women are chayim with this fight for general rule. Okay, so we have here a question. We have a problem. Why does the Ramah paskin that everybody likes their own menorah, and the Ram, while the Rambam paskin that one person likes the menorah for everybody? So I want to suggest the following. There's an interesting Truma Sadeshin in Simon Kufal. The place can cite. He raises the following question. Let's say the Dinis Mahadrin is Nelech Alecha Bechad. Every person should light separately. But there should be a Ne'er L'Cholecha Be'echad, anyway, however we define it. The Truma Sadeshin was asked, what if a person is away from home, but his wife is lighting for him at home, and he's staying in a hotel? Now the Gemara says clearly that he's not obligated to light, because he fulfills his mitzvah with his wife lighting for him at home. The Gemara tells a story about one of the Chachamim. His wife lit the menorah for him at home, but he said, I don't have to light, my wife already lived for me. The Truma Sadeshin asked the question, however, what if he wants to be from the Mahadrin? The Mahadrin is Ne'er L'Chol Echad Ve'Echad. Ne'er L'Chol Echad Ve'Echad means a separate menorah for each person. A menorah for him and another menorah for his wife. Should he light in his hotel room in order to fulfill the union of Mahadrin?
It's not the same house.
Not in the same house. His wife is going to light a menorah in his house at home. And he's going to light a menorah in the hotel. But it'll be Ne'er L'Chol Echad Ve'Echad. At least there'll be a separate Hadlokah for him and for his wife. Is that embraced by the concept of Mahadrin?
It's not based on. It's only temporary.
Yeah, but he's there for the night. If his wife wouldn't be at home, he would certainly be obligated. He's not obligated because his wife is lying for him at home. But does Mahadrin warrant that he should lie over here? So the Truma Sadeshin quotes Echad Min HaGedolim, that he had a contemporary, the Paskin, that he does not light Mahadrin. He does not. Why not? So the way he says it is, Shalei Matsinu Hidr Kazeh B'Gemar. We don't find such a kind of Hidr mentioned in the Gemar. The Truma Sadeshin himself disagrees. And Truma Sadeshin himself says, why not? That's Mahadrin. Nelech Alechad Ve'Echad. His wife lit, he should light as well. That's Mahadrin. It doesn't need to be mentioned in the Gemar. And that's the Machlokes. Now it's very not clear what's the rationale behind the Echad Min HaGedolim. The colleague of the Truma Sadeshin who felt that the husband should not light in his hotel room. And why not? After all, the Mahadrin is Nelech Alechad Ve'Echad. And what's his argument that Lo Matsinu Hidr Kazeh B'Gemar? The Gemara has to mention every case. The Gemara says Ne'er L'Chol Echad Ve'Echad. Everybody should have their own neiris. So if the Gemara has to mention, you have to have your own neiris whether you're staying at home. You have to have your own neiris if you're staying in Howard Johnson's. You have to your own neiris if you're staying in hotels. It says Ne'er L'Chol Echad Ve'Echad. So I understand on my own. Ne'er L'Chol Echad Ve'Echad means in every circumstance. What does this colleague of the Truma Sadeshin mean when he says, no, this is not Mahadrin because the Gemara never discusses such a kind of Mahadrin? What is this such a kind of Mahadrin? What makes this case so special and unique that the Gemara should have had to single it out for special mention? And since the Gemara doesn't, it doesn't warrant the Hadlok of Mahadrin. It's very cryptic. So the Prima Godin says, he thinks what it means is that by Matsinu v'Gemara, you don't find in the Gemara that the husband and wife should light separately. The husband and wife light one menorah for both. By Matsinu v'Gemara, mahadin for husband and wife. Aner l'kolecha be'echad for husband and wife. But there is such a notion in the place, and the Mashal has such a notion, and that's why many people have the middle, that there's one menorah for the husband and the wife doesn't light her own menorah. But it's very hard to read that into the Trumas Hadeshin. It doesn't sound like that was a Shiloh. You could have had that Shiloh if the husband's at home too. You didn't have to send the husband off to the hotel to ask that Shiloh. You could have asked the Shiloh, when the husband is at home, is there a separate adocha for the husband and the wife? And he could have said, Lomasino Hidr Kazeb Gemara. Yeah, not. He could have debated it there. He didn't have to set up the case. The husband went away on a trip. And the Shiloh is there mahadrin when the husband is away from home? It seems that the Trumas Hadeshin is assuming that that a husband and wife light separately if they want to do mahadrin. The question is only, what if the husband's away from home? So the Echad and Agbalim, his colleague, said, no, that kind of hiddur you don't have. And the Trumas Hadeshin said, why not? There should be hiddur there as well. So what's the issue, and what's the rationale behind this colleague of the Trumas Hadeshin? So I think the rationale is the following. Why is it a hiddur for each person to lie separately? Why is that a hiddur? Nelu kolecha b'echad ha-mahadrin, whether you're doing hiddur mitzvah, mahadrin achar mitzvahs. Why is it better for each person to lie separately? What makes that better? Well, let's start the other way. We'll come to that in a second. Let's start with the simpler answer. Is that it's better that each person should lie separately, because then you're doing the mitzvah on your own. With the Shiva, we learn in the second Tarek of Kiddushin, the first Gemara is mitzvah lo yoseh mi b'shulchai. It's always better to do a mitzvah on your own than to delegate it to somebody else.
By Kiddush
we have Beroi Baam, right? We say Beroi Baam Hadris Melech, so there, but here it's going to be more Hiddur, maybe to have more nails.
This is telling the Baai, it's not
on the
first
one. Well, let me lay out the two Sodom, and we'll see how it plays out. One way to learn it is that the Hiddur lies in the fact that I'm not, you know, Kiddush is different because it's not Shlichus, it's Shemei Kain. But here it's going to be delegated to Shlichus. So I can delegate the mitzvah to somebody else. Or I can do the mitzvah on my own. It's more hiddur, it's better if I do the mitzvah on my own. That's one way to understand the concept of ne'el kolecha be'echad. But that only makes sense if you define ne'el kolecha be'echad the way the Ramot does, that every person likes their own menorah. But if you define ne'el kolecha like the Rambam, that the balabais likes for everybody, then you're delegating it to the balabais anyway. So that can't be the explanation. So according to the Rambam, why is it better to have Ner L'Kolecha B'Echad? Why is it better to have Neros multiplied by the number of people you have in the house? Where's the Hiddur in that? Why is that a Hiddur? Why is that better? So Lachara, like you're saying, because it's more Hiddur. If I have more Neros, it's more Hiddur. Of course, I'll let you ask a question. So why limit it to the number of people in the house? If the Hiddur is to have more Neros, so let the Gemara say, I'm a Hadrin, they light as many Neros as they could afford. Why should it be limited to the number of people in the house? Like Neyway's Kiminyan, whatever the Dow Jones was that day.
What? You're
only
supposed to make
some
right? I mean,
so the Ashlish, we have the rules of Ashlish, but here you're going way beyond the Ashlish anyway. But why this arbitrary number, the number of people you have in the house? So make some other arbitrary number. People who are Mahadrin, like 10 Neyers, regardless of how many people. 10 Neyers, that's a lot of Neyers. 20 Neyers. Why tie it to the number of people in the house? So the answer, I think, is this, that the neiros that you're adding have to have some kind of standing as neiros kanaka. You can't just add Christmas lights, lahatu. They have to have standing as neiros kanaka, which means they have to represent some kind of chiyuv hadlokah. The number of people that you have in the house represents the number of chiyuvim there are in the house. The number of chiyuvim there are in the house defies the number of possible neiros kanaka. More neiros than you have chiyuvim in the house are not neiros kanaka at all.
You're
going to
accomplish the end of any more in your life.
Could be that. It could be that according to the Rambam, it doesn't make sense to the cotton yishleifer for the cotton shleikiyel chinu. It doesn't represent the chinu altogether. Maybe he said the other way, he represents potential chinu. I can hear either way. But upon the basic idea I want to bring out is that if you learn like the Rambam, then ner l'kol echad be'echad means each person like their own menorah. So the hiddur lies in doing it yourself rather than doing it through somebody else. Whereas if you learn like the Rambam that mahadrin means the balabais lies for everybody, then the hiddur lies somewhere else. The hiddur lies in having many neiros, limited by the number of chiyuvim that you have. But the hiddur is in having many neiros, in the ribuy of neiros itself. Now how does this bear on the case of the Trumas Hadeshin? What if the balabais is not home? The balabais is off in a hotel somewhere. Is there a mahadrin that he should light separately and not be yotzi with his wife Sadok? So let's consider it from each point of view. If the definition, if the idea of mahadrin is that you should do it yourself and not rely on somebody else, so does that apply to the husband in a hotel room?
Yeah,
sure, why not?
Sure.
As much as this is home, he should do it himself and not rely on his wife at home. It's not even a special with a bracha. That's the definition of mahadrin. Make a bracha on mahadrin. The definition of mahadrin is to do it yourself. There's no reason for the Gemara even to mention it, to single it out for special mention. The Gemara said, Nelukul echad v'echad, each person should light their own menorah. The Gemara doesn't need to say, if you're home, if you're away. Obviously, if you should light your own menorah, you should light your own menorah wherever you are. The fact that you're away doesn't make a difference. On the other hand, if the hiddur lies in having many menorahs, there should be a spectacle of many menorahs rather than just a single solitary menorah. So what if the husband's away in Amatel? Is there hiddur then as well? We could argue that. Maybe the hiddur is having many menorahs together. So you have this huge blaze of light rather than just having a single menorah. So then it's a hiddur. You have many people lighting together. You have a ribuy of menorahs together. That's a hiddur. But this, who says it's a hiddur? You have one neir being lit in Brooklyn. You have another neir being lit in a hotel room in Chicago. Who says that's a hiddur? There are more neirs in the world. Who says that that's a hiddur? So you could say maybe it is. Maybe it's a hiddur to have more neirs in the world. Says the Echad Min HaGdolim, Lo Yilatsinu a hiddur Kazeh B'Gemara. The burden of proof is on you. You want to invent a hiddur of having more neirs in the world, go find the Gemara that says that. The Gemara that we have is talking about a person at home, and it says it's a hiddur to have many neirs together. That's the hiddur that we find in the Gemara. We don't find in the Gemara a hiddur that you should have a neir in New York, a neir in Chicago, and a neir in, you know, all across the chain of hotels wherever they are. That's not a hiddur. That's not the hiddur that the Gemara talks about. The hiddur that the Gemara talks about is hiddur in one place when you have many neirs complementing each other. So I think that's the debate between the Echad Min HaGdolim and the Trumas HaGeshem. The Echad Min HaGdolim held like the Rambam, that the Baal HaBayis likes all of the neirs, and the hiddur lies in having many neirs. So therefore he said, having many neirs is only if you're home. If you're away, you don't have that hiddur. The Trumas HaGeshem disagrees, because the Trumas HaGeshem assumed that the hiddur is to light yourself, not to delegate it to somebody else. Says the Trumas HaGeshem. So if you're in a hotel room, it's the same thing. Why? The Gemara doesn't need to say that. Doesn't need to single that case out for special mention. It's obvious. If you have to fulfill the mitzvah yourself, then you have to fulfill the mitzvah yourself, regardless of where you are, whether you're home or whether you're away. How does the Rambam paskin? The Rambam paskin is the fetish like the Trumas HaGeshem, that a person who's away from home should light his own menorah because of mahadrin, in order to fulfill the union of mahadrin. So the Mela, the Rambam l'shitosoi, because he paskin like that Trumas HaGeshem, understood that the idea of Mahat of Nelu Kalef of Echad is that each person should light their own menorah. So therefore when the Ramah describes how to do Mahadrin, says the Ramah, not like the Rambam that the Baal HaBayis lights all of the menorahs, but rather that each person lights their own menorah, because the idea of Mahadrin is to do the mitzvah yourself. Where did he get it from? He got it from the Trumas HaGeshem. That's the source. I asked before, where's the source? Why did he take issue with the Rambam? What source did he have to learn Mahadrin, to define Mahadrin differently than the Rambam? His source is the Trumas HaGeshem, which we know the Ramah explicitly passes like the Trumas HaGeshem, and he's consistent, therefore, with his own view. Yeah.
The Rambam says in Paragimel, the culture of the Kriyas Megillah is tied to Havadot Sinner's time, which seems would be then associated the Rambam with the Kriyas Megillah.
Why?
Because in Paragimel it seems to suggest that it's an individual view, called each individual, as opposed to over here, which is suggesting based on.
There is an individual chiyuv, but the individual chiyuv is fulfilled by having a neir in the bayis. It's not an individual chiyuv to do the act of hadlaka. It's an individual chiyuv to participate in a bayis that has a neir. But the actual hadlaka itself is done by the Baal HaBayis, according to the Rambam.
Can we go back to the first
machlokas
that you finished? I just
want
to finish this point.
Yeah, I finished this.
What does Beis Hillel do with the at least the precedent in Torah that when you have a question of seder, not two mitzvahs for a seder, then we go down north. Then the parayacha. And we said
what's his response to that?
And it seems that Shammai is stronger in that. The Shammai says, when I have a seder, how do I go? It's not a malam b'kedusha. It's not, you know, just like the nero.
But let's put the question differently. And This question I don't have an answer for. According to Beis Hillel, we say Maila B'Chodesh. How do they explain Pari Achad? Why was it the Torah Maila B'Chodesh when it came to Pari Achad?
The Midrash says there's a specific reason why. Maybe that's not an example of Kodesh, you said.
Well, it's as much as an example of Nechana. It's not an example of Kolam Kodesh
Mechaveroi.
Neither is Nechana, because it's on different nights. So they're also on different days. It's exactly analogous to Nechana. You don't have two Chiyuvim in front of you at the same time. In which case you'd say Kolam Kodesh Mechaveroi, Kodesh Mechaveroi, which imperative is bigger. Right. Rather, you have mitzvahs that you to arrange over a course of days. You want to know what's the most appropriate to say there. So they would say Ma'alim B'Kodesh. But you see in the Torah, the Pari Achad, we didn't say Ma'alim B'Kodesh. So what's Beis Hillel going to do with the phenomenon of Pari Achad? So I don't know. Let's say along the line of saying maybe there was some other agenda because we want to show the Umasa'ilim are
Umasmatim.
There may be some other reasons why maybe Beis Hillel might respond. But in the Chami, that certainly needs to be addressed in the Gemara. How are Beis Hillel going to explain the Pari Achad? I have to say shoot, I'm sorry.